Hello everybody, my name's Rich and I do games now. Welcome to the show, this is a Friday episode. This week, you might be a little shocked to be hearing me expecting simply syndicated gaming news. Let me explain just a little bit. This week we were unfortunately unable to record an episode of Simply Syndicated Gaming News, which left all the gaming news of the week sort of, well, fair game and up for grabs in my book. So here it is. That's what's happening. I've stolen the news this week to do on this show. So I thought, given that it's really a gaming news show this week or today, because it's three shows a week, I thought I'd take this opportunity to shove the show in the faces of all the Simply Syndicated Gaming News audience in the hope that some of you will then go and subscribe to this show. Makes sense? It's fairly straightforward, really. It really is, but this one is just me on my own. There's a lot of prattling on and that sort of thing, and indecisiveness and not really knowing what's going on. But generally, this opening bit of the show, I talk about something that's just relevant to me, and then I'll go on to something else. So gaming news coming up shortly. So my PC gaming saga continues, and it is still wondrous. I am still so very happy. It is so difficult to get stuff done. It really is. I am isolated from society, from my family. I am just playing games on this box in the most tremendous quality. It's been fantastic. I can't fault it. Well, except for when I can, because do you know what? Windows is still very much a thing. You'd be going perfectly well, and then something will happen, and you're like, oh yeah, Windows. You know, and it started the other night when Adobe Audition crashed. Now, you can blame Windows or not for that. I think that everyone at Microsoft would be immediate to jump on Adobe, as would I, really. But it was just, do you know, Adobe Audition on the Mac has never crashed. I've never seen it crash. And so that was just a little bit of a, that's odd, kind of thing. And then there's the updates, because there's constant updating of everything. I'm kind of amazed it turns on and runs, because you would think that with all the updates, all of it is broken. Because with regards to updating, I wasn't prepared for how this computer wouldn't be set up. Right? Because, well, I'm used to computers arriving and they just, you know, everything is there. Like, that's how a MacBook Pro works. That's how an iMac works. It's just, that's it. Whereas this PC is a computer put together by a group of people, by a company made up of parts from lots of different companies and unified under an operating system made by yet another company. And so you get to a situation where you're trying to capture 2002 FIFA World Cup on the Xbox and it won't do it because the firmware version that's on your capture card is 0.0.0.1 and they're onto version 10, and so you've got to have figured that out. I don't know what made me think of it. I don't know what, I think there might have been a thing in the settings app that just simply displayed the firmware version, and that was enough to make me think, well, maybe I can do a firmware update and go and find that. Just looking on the downloads of the website, the Ava Media website, that there were firmware updates and drive, and none of it was on the machine. And I'm not upset with CyberPower Systems for it. They've done a fantastic job with this computer. And they'll have used the software that was in the box on the discs with the devices. And there's only so much they can do with that, which I completely understand. And I don't think the situation would have been any different had I got a computer from an HP or a Dell or whoever else. It's just something, an extra step, something to be aware of, something to take into account. And I'm also suddenly very aware of how that Perspex sheet on one side of the case is going to show dirt like nobody's business. I'm just sort of realizing that already, that it looks a bit not perfect just through being there. Didn't think of that. Wouldn't have changed it because I like the little window so I can see all the lights. I'm unreasonably amused by the fact that the motherboard has RGB color changing lights on. But yeah, man, Windows. It's just, I couldn't live there. I couldn't do it full time. You come back and sit on the Mac and do some work, and it's such an eye-opening experience. It's just a different world altogether. And so, there, you know, it's there and I love it, but it's not home. It's like a really cool holiday villa that I own somewhere. That's the Mac is home still. That said, they released more MacBook Pros yesterday. Did you see the prices, Mike? Oh God, my God. I can't justify that anymore. There's always been talk of the Apple tax and paying more for hardware and that being excusable because the hardware is financing the software, the operating system and that sort of thing. And it's of a superior quality to things you'll get elsewhere and all that sort of stuff. And to a certain extent, that stuff holds true. However, I feel that the distance between what Apple are producing and what is possible is very wide now. It more so than it's ever been. When I got my the MacBook Pro I'm recording this show on, I got this 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And it was £1,999. It was the top available 15-inch MacBook Pro at the time. And like I say, it was £2,000. And now that equivalent model is £2,700. And it's not that much better. It's certainly not the spec of a laptop I would expect to get for just shy of £3,000. And they've done the thing where they're like, oh, hey, we've put graphics in. No, you haven't. You've put old graphics in again, haven't you? You've put in the graphics card that I wouldn't get in my PC. And then you go over to CyberPower Systems again, just as a frame of reference, because they make gaming laptops. And you see that for the same money as a 15-inch MacBook Pro, on the PC side of things, you can get something that is ridiculous, quite frankly. They have a dual 1080 SLI graphics setup in a laptop for less money than that MacBook Pro with that AMD Radeon graphics card that's already old. Now, I'm not saying that they necessarily need to put dual 1080 graphics cards in a MacBook Pro, but wouldn't it be a nice option? Wouldn't it be? I want the MacBook Pro. Maybe they should do it like a Pro. Like a, okay, you want a laptop? Here's a laptop. Just Pro. And it's a beast. They could do something like that, but they don't because they all have thin light. Thin has to be thin. It doesn't have to be thin. Just has to not be fat. Do you know? Like, there's a sweet spot, and it's a bit fatter than MacBook Pros. Just, I don't know. It's what they do. Anyway, I'm going to talk about gaming news now. ¶¶ and so on with the gaming news. It really is a week bereft of gaming news, because what happened this week? Fortnite Season 5. It was a Fortnite. That's a different game. That's my life. Fortnite Season 5 began yesterday at time of recording. It's really nice as an update. I'm really enjoying it so far. I haven't had that much time to do it yet, because I spent yesterday playing the damn football game. But I'm going to get some more time on it today, hopefully. Now, to briefly explain what a season is in Fortnite, it's a period of 10 weeks over which you can buy what is called the Battle Pass, which then unlocks a great deal of different gameplay options, such as character customization and achievements and leveling up and all that kind of thing. And in theory, there are enough instances of in-game currency that you can win within the Battle Pass as you play the game to keep financing future battle passes, so that you really only have to pay for the first one. I nearly won enough in-game currency this season in season 4, but I started halfway through, so I think with a couple more days I'd have had chance to do it. But with a season update comes graphical updates to the map, sort of new locations, new things to do, new toys in this case. They're really, really good at sort of building anticipation. As we've mentioned on gaming news in the past, things have been disappearing from the map in little vortex things over the last week. And in fact, some of them have been appearing in the real world. There was a big burger dude found in the middle of the desert. They didn't tell anyone it was there. They just, I'm imagining the fun to be had in the PR department of having this massive burger character made up in fiberglass and then just driven out to the desert and dumped, and then just sitting back and watching Twitter waiting for somebody to find it and tweet a picture of it. It was actually I really appreciate stuff like this. It shows they're putting in the effort. They had supply drop llamas appear in major cities around the world. They've really done a good job of building up anticipation for this. It's part of why this is actually a good, playable, fun game. I've been wanting to do a blog post or an article about sort of the gaming snobbery that's stopping us enjoying things like Fortnite. And I had it. You know, I had this snobbery, the gamer snobbery of, this is free to play, it's not a real game. It's probably just glorified smartphone game that's just trying to get money off you. Yes, but I have to pay money to finish moves and do things like that. And I was entirely wrong. I was entirely wrong. Yes, it's a free to play game. And yes, there's even a mobile version of it. But to call it a mobile game is completely unreasonable. It looks fantastic on the PC. It's a genuinely fun game to play, and I let myself miss out on it, which is silly. So I suggest, if you're in any way holding out, at least give it a go and see how you feel. Unless, you know, first-person shooters aren't really your thing, you're not going to like that then, or third-person, you're not going to like it. But as a game, it's a lot of fun, and the Battle Pass genuinely adds value to that experience, and is a reasonable price for what you get. It's a rarity in the free-to-play space, and it's why it's trouncing PUBG and everything else, because it's genuinely good, and the game makers seem to treat you with respect, and they seem to enjoy their game, and they are evolving it and making it grow and that sort of thing. It's a very different gaming experience than I'm used to, but I'm very much enjoying it. So this new Season 5, I'm surprised at how exciting I'm finding it and how ready I am to jump in. There have been some software updates that are worth taking note of. The mobile version now has auto fire, which is fantastic. Basically, you just, you know, you position your target over position your sight over a target. That's it. And you can have it so that it will fire and you don't have to worry about the fire button, which on mobile is a blessing. It's a very functional mobile experience, but it still needs work. And they've done, you know, made some good changes. And the Switch version has added motion controls, which has made me absolutely lethal. I don't know if any of you have had the same experience. Motion controls added to a game like this, you're using the thumbsticks for big sweeping movements and that sort of thing. But then for fine tuning, for just moving along slowly while somebody's trying to run away from you, that kind of thing, you've got motion control, and it's incredible. It's the same sort of system that's in Splatoon 2, and it helps me out a lot there. It might make me the most lethal on the Switch of the three different platforms. And I did, well, I say I didn't have chance to play it much yesterday. I played at least several games on each, the PC, the Switch, and the iPhone. So, you know, you managed to get it in where you can. That's what she said. Moving on. Nintendo news. There's one about them being referred to Germany for their anti-consumer practices, and I can't really argue with that. I feel like Norway have just, they're telling tales now. It's not, because Norway, not in the EU, but I think they're part of the EU trading thingy, where they like have to follow the rules but can't make the rules, the choice we've just made to do something like that. And so there is a rule that said if you offer a pre-order, then you have to be able to cancel that pre-order. I think that's true of sort of any product. And Nintendo have a system on their store where you can buy games ahead of time, but you can't cancel that pre-order. And that is a violation of trading laws in the EU. So Norway have gone to Germany, who are a proper grown-up EU country, like we used to be, and they've said, hey, can you have a look at Nintendo? And they've had a look at Nintendo and said, yes, actually we can. So I'm getting the feeling that soon you'll be able to cancel pre-orders made through the Nintendo eShop in Europe, which seems fair to me. The more fun Nintendo news that's come up this week is Nintendo have... I feel like they might have been forced to say this at this point, because they've caught a lot of flack since E3 for not having a lot of exciting stuff coming up, which depends on how you feel about Smash Brothers and Mario Party and that sort of thing. We know they aren't doing nothing. You know, they've got stuff. It's just, I think the fan base is a non-pleasable group of people. But nevertheless, it could be said their E3 offering was sparse, to say the least. And, you know, 45 minutes of Smash Brothers, which I found really dull. And it's a game I'm going to buy. I have every intention of buying that game and playing it and hopefully enjoying it, because it's been years since I've played a Smash Brothers game, even though I'm realizing there's actually probably a couple on the shelf next to me. So I want it to be good, but I've never cared about a game in as much detail as they presented in that Nintendo Direct. But anyway, since they did that, share prices have dropped, that sort of thing. Now, that sort of thing you have to be careful not to overreact to, because it rarely actually means anything. And it doesn't mean anything in this case. Don't be worried for Nintendo. They've got a big pot of money like Scrooge McDuck. Okay, so they're good. And share price falling doesn't mean you're running out of money. That's not what happens. But I think that between investor panic and fanboyism, the Nintendo felt that they've had to make a statement saying, okay, there's still stuff we haven't announced. There's still lots of big, awesome stuff. So CTFO and just sit tight. There'll be a Nintendo Direct soon. Which is exciting, because now we have absolutely no idea what they could be working on. There are no leaks of anything. The only thing anybody's seen is that stupid Star Fox Grand Prix logo, which could have been anything. Absolutely anything. And yet, they say there's more to come. It's very exciting. What could it be? And it's stuff from Nintendo. This is first-party lineup stuff. you can sort of speculate as to which franchises haven't had a look in recently and that sort of thing, but still, it's just speculation. This is the frustrating thing with Nintendo. What are they going to do? Dunno. No idea. But I wish people would just calm down a bit, you know? Let people get on with stuff and stop getting overly excited about what we don't know. Don't expect to see Metro Prime 4 for Christmas. It's just chill. You're gonna get it. It's gonna happen. Just relax. There'll be an Animal Crossing game. It's gonna happen. And you can get it and play it to death. That's gonna happen. So just chill. Do you know what? The depressing thing is, that's actually all the gaming news. Right there. That's it. Don't know what to tell you. I can tell you that that's why Simply Syndicated Gaming News didn't happen this week. There's essentially two bits of news. One of them's Fortnite. Oh, then the Nintendo Norway thing. Then the Nintendo, we're going to bring some more games out. And then there's something Amy Hennig, the lady who was working at EA making the single player Star Wars games, has basically said she doesn't blame EA for dumping single player games, whatever. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. EA are currently suffering a little bit of a problem because Cristiano Ronaldo, who is on the front of the FIFA 19 box, has just been traded to another team and now wears a different outfit. And that has happened very last minute and out of nowhere. So EA are a bit screwed with that one. They've got him in the wrong outfit on the front of the box. But not only that, he's in the wrong outfit and on the wrong team throughout the entire game. And not only that, but he features prominently in the single player story version of the game. And now all of it needs to be changed. It must be quite a panic, but because it's EA, it's hilarious. That's just one of those things. It's you find that when you brew bad will, and people just find it funny when bad stuff happens to you. Especially with a game like FIFA. Speaking of which, I'm actually going to toddle off now and do a sort of review thing about 2002 FIFA World Cup by EA on the Xbox, which is fun. I've replayed the World Cup as England, and we won. If that's any help to any of you. At least we won on my Xbox playthrough of a 16-year-old game. God, this game's old enough to buy lottery tickets now. No wonder all the players look so weird and cardboardy. It's such an odd-looking game. Okay, everybody, thank you for listening. That's the show for today. I'll be back on Monday, hopefully. I keep saying that. We're entering week 3 of this show, and I've not managed a Monday yet, but I'll hopefully manage this upcoming Monday rather than doing a Tuesday, Wednesday. There was some streaming that took place this week on Twitch, which I once again really enjoyed. It'd be great to see more of you coming along and hanging out and chatting. I did it at unusual times. First of all, I meant to do sort of 8 until 10 on Tuesday and Wednesday, and 8 slipped till 9 on Tuesday, which wasn't the end of the world, but that's what happened. And then Wednesday, what I didn't know when I decided that I was doing 8 till 10 was that the England game kicked off at 7. So that kind of went out the window as well. But I have done other streaming sessions at random times in the morning. The best thing to do, because what I'm realizing now is that I've completely overfaced myself with content creation, and I need to dial it back a great deal to get something regular and then build up from there. So at the moment, I'm still wanting to do evening streaming sessions at least twice a week. But in terms of timing, the best thing to do is probably just follow me on Twitch or on Twitter and watch out for things on there, because I don't know too far ahead of time what actual hour it will start. I can say I'll do streaming on Tuesday night, and I absolutely will. So, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday nights I'll do streaming. And I will aim for around 8 o'clock. But I can schedule events on Twitch, so, you know, just look out for those. I think if you subscribe to my channel, channel, you'll get alerts or something. I still don't know how Twitch really works. I think there's a lot I'm missing out on, to be perfectly honest, so bear with me while I still figure things out. You can find all the work I do on TechSupportRich.com and all the podcasts I do on SimplySyndicated.com. Oh, and TechSupportRich.com, I kind of double post them, so more interest on the internet, I suppose. And until then, and Monday and all that, I'm starting to ramble now. It's only 12:30. Oh no, it's 1:30. I've lost an hour. Aliens.